All right, just to try and keep moving here, our next speaker is Sarah Woolsey. She is sponsored from the Utah Academy of Family Physicians. Dr. Woolsey is a board-certified family medicine practitioner at the Utah Medical Director of Health Insight. She was a clinical lead with Utah Beacon Communities Project, which demonstrated that using health information technology, significant improvement in diabetes quality measures and practice transformation for 60 Utah primary care offices. She also co-investigated the impact of an SMS texting tool in A1C levels and self-management for patients with diabetes. She was the co-editor of the Utah Diabetes Practice Recommendations 2011-2012 editions in partnership with the Utah Department of Health. Dr. Woolsey was selected to enter the first class of the Innovation Advisor Program for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. She has worked in quality improvement in outpatient settings for over 10 years with primary care and has 13 years of experience with the underserved populations in Salt Lake City. She maintains an active inpatient-outpatient practice in community health centers in Salt Lake City. She is a graduate of the University of Illinois Chicago School of Medicine and completed her residency at the University of Utah. Let's welcome Dr. Woolsey.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me fine? All right. Forward. So as he introduced, a very nice introduction. So I'm medical director with Health Insight, also a practicing family physician. So come at it from two points of view. We appreciate that Ogden Medical wants providers to know kind of what's happening. As you know, healthcare is changing a lot. And things that providers need to do to stay current are always just, you gotta keep up. So we're gonna cover quickly the top five. I want you to listen from different point of view. How many of you are primary care? Okay, how many of you are in specialty, other care? Okay, so this is directed at the primary care group, but know that most things that start in primary care eventually will filter to specialty care. Let's see, I can see here. So we're gonna look at just really quick overview of the quality initiatives for 2014. Look at payment opportunities linked to that. I know that's important for practices to be healthy, so we're gonna mention that. And then because there's not a lot of time, I've got lots of links in the PowerPoint if you'd like to get more information. I recommend you listen from the point of view of, do we know, are we participating, or have we chosen not to and we're not going to? If not, if you're not sure of the answer, go back to your practice, to your office manager, to your leadership and say, where are we participating in these particular areas and where do we need to get more information? Of course, Health Insight's a resource. We have a booth here. I'm not going to take questions because I think you have a break, but I'll be waiting outside if people have personal questions for me or would like to get more resources from Health Insight Utah. This is a grid that I made when I started at Health Insight in 2010, trying to keep track of all these things that are happening with providers. So on the top, it's Utah things that are requiring us to report quality metrics or other kind of metrics. On the bottom, it's the federal program. So you can see they're not going away. There's lots of them. Every single one of these has a link if you'd like to click the primary source. But these are things that are marching along and asking us to demonstrate our quality, participate in programs. Some of them have incentives. Some of them are now going to sticks. So take a look at this and just see, do I know about these things? Am I aware of them? The top five I want to talk about today, this is my alphabet soup. Physician quality reporting system, PCMH, patient-centered medical home, accountable care and shared savings, consumerism in healthcare, and then the tools that support that, that all of you probably know about, but we'll talk about briefly. So PQRS, how many people know, have heard of that? Okay, how many people have heard about it in an incentive program? Okay, how many people are actively reporting? Okay, so not as many hands. So want people to be aware of this, especially if you take care of Medicare beneficiaries. This is a Medicare program. It's been around since 2007. It was called PQRI at that time, and it's a pay-for-reporting program. It's a combination of incentives and disincentives, so you got both there, to eligible professionals and practices. And it's designed to promote public reporting of quality. They're taking data about how we're taking care of Medicare beneficiaries. They're looking to then put that onto Physician Compare. How many people have seen Physician Compare, heard of that? Okay, go take a look at yourself and just see what's out there. Right now, for most of it, it's demographic information. It tells that I practice in Rose Park, I speak Spanish, I take Medicare beneficiaries. But over time, and if you're in the Intermountain system, they're now reporting PQRS information at the level that now their systems are on there. So consumers, Medicare, can go look and say, hey, is this facility good for my condition? How are Medicare beneficiaries rating them? So eligible professionals are not just physicians, they're also practitioners and therapists. You have to have a minimum number of Medicare fee-for-service patients, so you may not hit that threshold, but keep an eye on that. And then there's lots of different measures for different types of specialties. It's the basis of the value-based modifier, which is the new thing that's coming. It's a combination of quality and cost, and it's going to modify how people are paid, both on their base rate from Medicare as well as incentives. And it's based on your participation through the PQRS model. This is just a quick slide for a group that, you know, currently would have over 100 physicians. Again, hospitals are doing a lot of this, but we want physician groups and physicians to be aware what's coming. If you participate, you're eligible for incentives based on how well you do. If you don't, you'll get downward adjustments starting in 2015. Link to payment, again, just so you're aware, there's incentives over the next couple of years. And then the penalties start in 2015, 2016. So be aware of where your organization is and whether or not it makes sense for you to participate and what is 1% or 2% of your money mean for your gross Medicare claims. These are resources and even phone assistance. Actually, human beings will help you with this if you have questions. PCMH, how many people practice in a medical home model? How many people are transforming into that? Or interested. Okay, so quite important for primary care, a lot of buzz around it, more and more interest in that in Utah. So what is it? Lots of people define it in different ways, but in general, it's patient-centered, it's comprehensive. Coordination's pretty important. You're the quarterback that's making sure that the patient's getting the right referrals, that information's coming back and forth, that things aren't being dropped. Accessible. We want to have patients not in the ER, not in the hospital if they don't need to be. We want them to be able to access as much care as they can in the outpatient setting. And then that you demonstrate you're actively interested in how your quality is. You have policies around safety. Those are the elements of medical homes. There's accreditations, another alphabet soup of people that will come in and say that, yes, you're a medical home, or no, you're not. There are some states, not Utah, that have requirements for what a medical home is, and many of those base their Medicaid patient payments based on that. Again, not yet in Utah. Don't know if that's coming. I doubt it. And then some payers actually define medical home, and some payers are talking about, well, if they're a medical home, we're going to pay them differently. How is it linked to payment or penalty? For commercial insurance, you may get a per member per month compensation to do those extra things to coordinate care, encourage access, make sure patients have good communication with your staff. Some folks are doing outcomes-based awards, so you're paid when you deliver the kind of care that keeps people out of the ER and has their chronic conditions be well controlled. May or may not be linked to accreditation. We're not seeing in Utah that accreditation is required yet for these. It may come for some plans, and it may be part of a shared savings arrangement. With Medicare, there's current reimbursement for care transitions. And in the deck, there's a PowerPoint we gave about that. If you actively get Medicare patients at the time of discharge and carefully manage their care, get their discharge follow-up, make sure their medications are appropriate, manage that vulnerable time that is transition, you can actually code and be paid for the care that you deliver. And that's somewhat new in the last 2 years. So take a look at that if you haven't looked into that. Medicare is also doing demonstration projects on medical home. Some of them have had the results they want. Some of them have not. But watch Medicare for potential incentives if you're practicing in this way in the next few years. And these are resources that Care Transitions Coding Webinar, there's a link to it. The AAFP also has really good resources on how to code and a billing sheet that you could give to a biller that helps you track the patient from the moment of discharge to touch with your office, to communication with your office. It doesn't have to all be face-to-face. And then you can bill after 30 days when that patient's having a good outcome because of your care. ACOs, anybody here practicing in a formal ACO? There's one, okay, good. So accountable care, much more penetrated in the east of the United States, but coming. I just want people to be aware of what it is, and again, think about, are your systems ready in case that is something that you're deciding to participate in. So what's an ACO? It's a group of healthcare providers who agree to share responsibility for the quality, cost, and coordination of care. It's going to have to be hospitals and specialists and pharmacists and outpatient care. What's shared savings? It's partnerships that if you do a good job and you save money and have good outcomes in taking care of those patients, you're going to all benefit from the savings you have in the system. And those are two sort of buzz phrases to know. In Medicare model, they're linked. So participation in ACO, it's 5,000 Medicare beneficiaries. So these are large groups of folks, and they watch them for 3 years. There are also some private partnerships developing where people are developing accountable groups or shared groups where they're saying, we're going to take a pot of money and try to do a good job taking care of patients together, and we'll share in the savings. They require excellent quality financial and data reporting capacity. You can't do this without really good infrastructure, which is part of the other areas that I'm describing. You gotta know where your high-cost patients are. You gotta know where your risk patients are. You gotta keep your populations healthy. It requires efficient management of outcomes. This is not just about cost. You want the best outcome for the right price. In Utah, so Central Utah Clinic in Provo, they're the only ACO designee for Medicare in our state, and so they're leading out in this model, and you know, we're excited to have them participating. Other applications are pending with other private groups in Utah, so we anticipate more activity in this for Utah coming up. The Medicaid ACO model, you've probably heard about that in the paper. It's a little different. It's not provider groups banding together, but it's the state contracting with these four Medicaid groups to, here's a pot of money, take care of our Medicaid patients. How providers are going to hear about that is more through hearing from the plans about how you take care of their patients and giving particular information and hopefully getting support for them to do a good job. And then there are shared savings arrangement with commercial payers. If you maintain a good quality and total cost of care is within a certain range, you can be paid bonuses from those commercial payers. How do you get paid? So in CMS, they're benchmarking a point in time back and saying, we took care of this population for this year or 2 years and it cost this much. Going forward, how are you gonna do? And if you can demonstrate savings, great. If you have costs, then you have to share that penalty. Utah Medicaid ACO's incentives for probably quality and hopefully some supports for our practices as we take care of members of those Medicaid plans. Commercial Utah plans have contracting opportunities where there are savings and bonuses, and we're seeing those come up with individual groups over time. Groups are saying, hey, we have high-risk patients. We'd like to have them in a medical co-model. We're going to contract with you to take care of them in a different way and see how we do in a year. But that's all still sort of piecemeal from our point of view for providers. These are different resources. I think the AMA, if you're thinking about diving into an ACO, has an excellent provider-focused resource. Consumerism in healthcare. Okay, this is something that I don't know if people are seeing. I've worked in a center where people don't have insurance, so cost comes up a lot as people are deciding about paying for things in healthcare. But I think it's coming to all of us. What is it? Is it consumerism promotes individuals having greater control over decisions affecting their healthcare? These are those more savvy patients. But it's not just that they're savvy, it's that they're actually on the hook for the money. We've seen a 44% increase, I think, in 4 years of employers having high deductible plans. Are you guys seeing more high deductibles where people are actually really interested in the first $2,000, $5,000, $7,000 that they're paying? So they're asking you more questions about price. Patients are more savvy. There's a lot more social media type health information out there. People know they can go get answers to questions and then they bring them in. And then in some populations, there's a rising uninsured rate. That's changed since the 2014 ACA, but there are still pockets of folks uninsured. Examples of consumerism driving healthcare, it's those retail clinics. Again, not as many here as in other states, but we're seeing those. People want quick care right there, not necessarily connected to a network in primary care, but they want that care done. In other states, consumer reports, have you guys seen consumer reports? They actually have inserts about physicians in certain areas of the country, and they're increasing their interest in publishing that. So quality information about particular conditions, providers and group names listed in consumer reports. It's pretty interesting. And then good prescription. You got to pay for an expensive medicine. You type it in, you type in your zip code. It'll give your consumer where's the best pharmacy place to buy that. So there's different things happening out there, and we're not immune. This just slide, I like it because it talks about the difference between patients and consumers. Patients are more not engaged. They're going to follow directions. They're going to kind of go with the program. Consumers are going to be more engaged, ask more questions. They're going to search out the physician they want. They may not even want to go to the hospital that, you know, would be the most logical. They may actually search for where's the best price, where's the best outcome. What do we want to do? We want to be aware these folks are out there. We want to know how to help our billing staff, help our patients know how much things cost. Be aware you may get more questions like this. And if you can set up systems to help answer those questions, direct people to their plans, get them the type of information they need, then it's going to make your day easier. These are rating organizations. I just want people to be aware. They're rating healthcare at large levels like hospitals, clinics, CMS, we talked about, physician compare. More information about comparing us, and they think this will drive quality. They think it will drive, in the market, the cost down. So just be aware, these groups are all places where you could find yourself or your group listed around quality. How is it linked? I think this is important for us to know. Ratings will influence some patients' choices of where they go. So you want to look good. You want to do a good job and have it look good. Quality and cost ratings might affect choice-sensitive conditions. Not as much obstetric care now because that should be covered under a plan fully. But things like a knee surgery or a hip replacement, they may be thinking about where do they want to get it, what hospital has good outcomes, what providers have good outcomes. They may be shopping these things more. And we know that employers are shopping more for where they contract for their employees, so they're actually thinking about that. And then I want to make sure you guys are aware, quality ratings may influence payer relationships. We're starting to hear payers say that they want more information on how effective offices are doing, and they're going to target their contracts to people who've demonstrated good outcomes and demonstrated that they have improvement programs to take care of, again, high-risk, complex patients. So be aware that could be coming to a contract near you. Here's some resources on consumerism, state-based mostly, a good article in the New England Journal from this year. Meaningful use in ICD-10. So when I made this slide deck, ICD-10 was coming right away. Now it's a year away. I'm not going to change really anything I say. We still think folks need to be ready for it, and especially partner. So we'll talk about this briefly. This is a slide actually from the Office of National Coordinator, just to give you guys a sense of the meaningful use plan. This has been a big deal for providers, especially primary care providers. It's expensive. It's affected our workflow. But what's it about? We all got that box. We plugged it in. We started to use it. Meaningful use stage one. Meaningful use stage two, we want to improve our access to information. We've got those patient portals going. We now hopefully can have a report on how our quality is and how we are taking care of a particular population of patients we can improve. Stage three is going to be more part of how do you participate as a medical home? How do you know where your highest risk patients are that need the most services? How do you put those services in place and demonstrate that you're effectively caring for them and coordinating them? And at the end of the day, it's readying us to participate in this integrated ACO type system. So just know that's the intention of the transformation build. At the micro level, it just looks like a lot of checks and balances and things, and our vendors are having trouble keeping up with the changes, but this is the intended build. I hope that it will benefit the primary care workforce. Some people are skeptical, but this is the model. Being aware of meaningful use incentives and penalties, just be aware those incentives continuing, and then for Medicare, it will become a penalty if you're not meaningful use attested, and at this point, Medicaids haven't changed. Don't know if they will. ICD-10, just so people know, it was actually endorsed in 1990 at the world level, and people have been using it since 94 at the world level. This is how the WHO and large communities are tracking global health data. We implemented for our death certificates in 99, and we were supposed to start in 2014, but we're waiting to 2015. At this point, we're still advising that providers be ready, know how especially your EHR is going to respond to this. This will be your best friend or your biggest harm. And then the second thing is how you bill and make sure those systems are in place. We now have a whole full year till 2015. So the message hasn't changed. You still need to be ready. Hopefully your vendor is ready and really push them to get you in a good spot by early 2015. Why is it related to quality, people say? It will generate more detailed healthcare data. We think that it will help us show the complexity of the care that we deliver. And so when those arrangements come with, hey, are you taking care of harder patients? Let's pay you more to do it. We think it will benefit providers to be able to demonstrate that. So just be aware of that. And then it is integral. It is part of the build for CMS's value-based modifier, pay-for-performance programs that we anticipate coming down the pipe, ACOs, and patient-centered medical home. Again, we anticipate CMS will be interested and more interested in paying for parts of medical home type care, and this will be part of demonstrating that so you can get reimbursed better. Here's resources. Again, I think the AMA has good resources for ICD-10. Take a look at that. And then in summary, this is alphabet soup. There are lots of things happening with providers. Please go through the list. Make sure your practice is aware, has a plan. If not, please reach out to the resources I provided you, Health Insight. We don't support all of this work, but we sure want to guide you to places that are successful. In our state, we have excellent examples in all these areas of people that are functioning. And so we'd like to, you know, lead you to that person using your vendor who's successful at meaningful use, or lead you to the place that's starting their ACO and keep an eye on them. So link together and make healthcare safer, more cost-effective, evidence-based, and better outcomes for Utah's patients. And 2015, it's not far away. So these are references for that first slide. This is my contact information. Again, I'll stand outside. There's a blank table where I'll stand if there's questions, and you guys get to go on your break. Okay.